Well, we want to begin our Torah study, so let's pray together. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kidshenu b'mitzvotav, v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. I want to ask you to open with me to Genesis chapter 26 as we look at a passage here that I want to use in a very specific way. I want to speak to you about the mind of faith, and I want to speak to you about the renewed mind and what we could call intelligent faith. Maybe you've heard that people say that faith requires that you not think, or you have to suspend your thinking. I have a different opinion about that. I believe that faith in God is smart. It's intelligent. And it doesn't require so much that we suspend our thinking as that we learn to think in new and deeper ways. Your mind is an incredible gift that God has given you. And if you're sitting next to someone you like, smile at them. Pat them on the back or the shoulder and say, you got a good head, you got a good mind, it's a gift from God. And let's read, as we prepare, let's read for context, Genesis 26, verses 1 through 5. There was a famine in the land, in addition to the first famine, that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Avimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. And then the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I give all these lands. And I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands. And in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, my laws. So when Abraham had been called to this land, and he arrived there, the very land that God promised to show him, there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down to Egypt in order to wait for the famine to be over. But Isaac is told not to go down. Don't go down to Egypt. But then there's this fascinating phrase, live where I tell you. Can you say that with me? Live where I tell you. And I think that's something all of us can take to heart. We need to hear from God. Where does he want us to live? Where does he want us to be? Because it may not be that we have all the information that is necessary for a good decision. We want to be in that place where God sees us and where God wants us to be. Now, given that there was a famine, and given that Abraham, Isaac's father, had gone down to Egypt for the famine, during the time of the famine, it would make sense that Isaac's first impulse would be, let's do what Abraham did. Let's go down there, because that makes sense, doesn't it? Some of the wisdom that we have will get us through difficult situations. Some of the experiences that we have, or that our families had and passed on, shared with us, some of that wisdom and some of that experience can be useful and can protect us. But there are times when we need more than the knowledge and the wisdom that we can gather that way. We need help from God. So in Isaac's case, the Lord appears to him and says, don't go down to Egypt, but live where I tell you. Stay in this land. Now, does that sound like good news? Stay in this land. Which land? The land that is having a famine. Stay here? Okay. You would think God would want everyone out of the famine land, right? Apparently not. Let's keep reading. Stay in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. because I will give all these lands to you and to your descendants. And at this moment, you know what Abraham actually owned? It was a funeral plot for his wife. He owned a gravesite, if you will, a cave, and the rest of the land belonged to other people. But the Lord says, stay in this land, I will be with you and bless you because I will give all these lands to you and to your descendants. I will fulfill the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. So God is saying to Isaac, I am going to be faithful to Abraham, I'm going to be faithful to you. And in fact, this is a very important key for us to understand. God shows himself faithful to the faithful. Those of us who practice faith by doing what God tells us to do, we can expect that God will show himself faithful to us. Here's a few references. Psalm 18, verse 25 says this, to the faithful, you show yourself faithful. Say that with me. To the faithful, you show yourself faithful. You see, it's not enough to have abstract faith. It's important to be faithful too. Faithfulness means, as God was telling Isaac, it means you do what I command you to do, and I'll do, the Lord says, what I promise to do. To the faithful, you show yourself faithful. To the blameless, you show yourself blameless. Now, Yeshua, in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, used a general principle that can be applied in this kind of situation too. He said, for the measure that you use, it will be measured to you. So if you use the measure with God of faithfulness, and if you use faithfulness as a measure in your own life, you know what? That's going to be applied to you. If you are merciful to other people, guess what? Mercy will be released in your life. If you're standing up for others, guess what? Others will stand up for you. Now, you may find times when people let you down. It's true. But I want to tell you that you can, in general, depend on God to work this way. God will work through people even when people are not so trustworthy or are not so reliable. God will show faithfulness to you through whomever he wants in order to accomplish the blessing that he wants to give to you. Now let's keep going. Verse 4, I'll make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. I will give all these lands to your descendants, and by your descendants all the nations of the earth will bless themselves. All this is because Abraham heeded what I said, and he did what I told him to do. He followed my mitzvot, my regulations, my teachings. He heeded what I said, and he did what I told him to do. In other words, God is saying, this promise that I made to Abraham is connected to his faithfulness with me. It's not that he earns it. It's that God chose Abraham to demonstrate God's faithfulness on the earth. But for Abraham to receive it, he has to be faithful too. To the faithful, I show myself faithful. That's right. Now, all of you know that we have three faculties that we can use to love the Lord. You love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And there's a gloss in the Greek, with all your mind, just in case you were thinking that strength doesn't include the mind. Smile again at someone who's sitting next to you and say, you've got strength in your mind. You've got strength in your mind, and you can use your mind to love God. Ve'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha v'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha v'chol me'adecha. You can use your mind to love the Lord. In fact, we need to use our minds to love the Lord. These are faculties which we have been given by God that are meant to be used in love of God. If you love God with your heart but not with your mind or your soul, you'll have problems. If you love him with only your mind and not your heart and not your soul, you'll also have problems. The way to come into integrity and wholeness as an individual is to use all the different parts that God has given you to love him. That will cause your mind to be useful, your heart to be useful, even your body and soul to be useful. So not only are these faculties with which we can love God, they're faculties by which we are faithful to God. So we need to be faithful. We can be faithful in the way that we think, in our intellectual endeavors and the activities of our mind. We can be faithful in our hearts. We can be faithful in the area of our souls as well. We can be faithful with our bodies. And in fact, to love God is not just an internal thing. It has an internal aspect, no doubt, but it's external as well, because with love, we demonstrate. With love, we show by our actions and our faith that we really are deeply committed to the Lord. And we show that we're not torn apart. We're not like a feeling individual over here and a thinking individual over here, and the feeler loves God, but the thinker doesn't. No, every aspect of us can be used not only to love God, but in service and faithfulness to God. That's one of the reasons why Paul spoke to his protege Timothy, and he said, study to show yourself approved as a workman who rightly handles the word of God. Study. How many of you can confirm that study can be work? So it takes effort, it takes attention, and if you've ever tried to study without using your mind, you know it will find you out. It will tell. So we can love God with our heart, our soul, and our mind. And that's why I think faith, the faith that we see in the scriptures, the faith of the patriarchs, the faith of the apostles, the faith that's modeled for us is not blind faith, it's seeing faith. It's hearing faith. It's faith that sees and faith that hears from God. We see God at work. And because of that, we have great trust and confidence in him. If we believe, but we didn't see God at work, we never saw God's hand, then we would be imagining rather than knowing him. So I think we could say that faith is intelligent, and I'm an advocate of intelligent faith, faith that uses our minds also, faith that honors the intelligence that God has endowed us with, and faith that can discuss and think about the life of faith. We can use our minds to analyze our own life of faith. We can use our minds together with our hearts, together with our souls, together with our spirit, to live with God and to live with each other in useful and powerful ways. The human mind is incredible. Do you agree? It's creative. It's imaginative. It's perceptive. It's capable. And the mind of those who love God are even, those minds are even more incredible. Maybe you've heard the story about the guy who went to the brain store because his wasn't working so well. And he saw all these regular price brains, and then there was this one brain that was so expensive. And he asked the brain store owner, what's so special about this brain? And the guy said, well, this is a believer's brain. And he said, well, what's so special about that? And he said, well, it's the only one that's never been used. I don't think that way. I think we're supposed to use our minds. We're supposed to use our brains in service to God. We're supposed to engage God with our heart, with our soul, with our mind. And I believe this, that when our heart is really submitted to God and when we've been renewed by the Spirit of God, then we can think better than we could before. How many of you had some stupid ideas about life before you became a believer? How many of you have learned from God that those things were stupid? And how many have discovered that wisdom from God is powerful and life-changing and can make a huge difference in the direction of your own life? So this is what I know, that we can process information as believers that can't be processed by a mind that doesn't know God intimately. When you know the Lord, you can receive guidance from him. You can receive information from him that you can then process, assess, analyze, and work with, even though it comes from him and not through your own normal, otherwise common intellectual processes. Now, in order to do this, you've got to have the right mind. So Ephesians 4:23 puts it this way, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So if that person you've been smiling at is still sitting next to you, you can tell them this. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Who knew the mind had a spirit? The spirit of your mind, the ruach, the breath, the wind of God blowing on you. Being renewed in the spirit of your mind is necessary. In Hebrew, the word for repentance, teshuvah, has to do with turning around, changing direction, and making the direction of our lives being God himself. He is the focus. That's why fix your eyes on Yeshua, the author and the finisher of your faith, is a picture of repentance. Repentance means turning and staying turned in God's direction. But when the writers of the Brit Chadasha were looking for another word in Greek that could convey some of that, they picked a word, metanoia, which means to have a change of mind, a change of thinking, because they understood that the way you perceive, the way you process, the way you think, your perspective needs to be revolutionized. So repentance touches both a change in direction, change of heart, and change of mind and change of thinking. If your thinking doesn't change when you become a believer, then something foundational still needs to happen for you. Now, Paul wrote to the Romans, chapter 12, verse 2, and he says this, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by, what does your Bible say? The renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So this teaches us something. With a renewed mind, we're able to not only identify, but to verify the will of God. We're able to recognize, to test it, and to approve it, and to find the best that he has for us, his good, pleasing, and his perfect will. So what I want to suggest to you tonight is that's what's going on with Isaac. That's what we're reading about, that Isaac is now learning how to think as a believer, as a faithful man of God. And he's being given information from God that he can't get any other way. And he's given direction from God that's counter to all other ways of thinking that he might have engaged in. What if he simply did an analysis of what to do based on past successes? He looked at people who had been in a situation like this that he knew, and he decided, okay, I should do what they did. That would be reasonable, right? Hey, my dad was in a situation like this. What did he do? He went down to Egypt. I should go down to Egypt. Often, when we benchmark by looking at what other people have done that is successful, it gives us wisdom and it gives us understanding. And no one would have faulted Isaac for having done that, except the Lord had other information for him. Now, you and I know that there are times when we think we're hearing from the Lord, but we're not. It could be that pizza we ate too late at night. It could be our emotions. It could be the opinions of other people. It could be speculation. Have you ever done something wholeheartedly that you thought was the Lord and at the end it turned out not to be? I don't think I'm the only one who's done that. Have you ever engaged in making your own plans, and then down the road you found there was some difficulty and you were praying to the Lord, bless my plans? Or maybe you prayed this prayer, a common prayer, why is this happening to me? And the Lord maybe answered you and said, I'll tell you why. You're doing what you wanted to do. You're not doing what I wanted to do because you didn't even stop to ask me. That's a big oops in life. It's always a good idea when you face important issues in life, stop and seek the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Seek his face. Be active in this. And don't play that spiritual game, you know, go something like this. Well, I'm going to do this, and if it's not your will, stop me. Or give me this kind of sign, you know, where you impose upon God a demand you have for a sign of one kind. And then if he gives it to you, you say, okay, well, then give me this other sign. Have you ever done that? I didn't like that one. Okay, give me another one. How do we know that Isaac heard from the Lord? Because it was proved in the course of his life. And that's why it was included in the scriptures, because it was verified. There's a temptation in the modern world and in modern life where people are wanting to be prophetic to forget that the prophetic things of scripture were all tested over time. So there was a chance down the road to see if what somebody said was actually reliable or if the person was reliable. And we can come to conclusions about the need to test. You will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Well, sometimes we've got to lay hands on our heads, I think, and say, Lord, help me renew my mind. What is it that needs to change? Sometimes when you pray in tongues, when you pray in the Spirit, contrary to other assessments that think you're just being emotional and irrational, I believe praying in the Spirit will make you smarter. I believe praying in the Spirit will build you up, as Paul says. I believe that praying in the Spirit will connect you with God, and I believe that praying in the Spirit will also work together with praying with understanding. There have been times when I needed to pray for something or someone and I didn't know how to pray, and so I prayed in the Spirit until I knew how to pray with my understanding, and then I continued to pray in the Spirit and with my understanding. I remember when I was new in the Messianic movement and I was at Messiah Conference, they had prayer lines after every evening service. And it was interesting. People went to the prayer lines of people they knew. And so nobody knew me. But I was appointed to have a prayer line. So I'm standing in the prayer line without a line. And I'm ready to pray for people, and no one wants to come to me. And there are long lines. So you would think even somebody would just care because of the shortness of time. It's like, well, I don't know who that guy is, but it's more convenient because there's no waiting. But nobody came to me, and so I was tempted and thought, yeah, this is awkward. It's even embarrassing. I'm the only one up here who doesn't have a line of anybody to pray for. And so I said, Lord, I'm going to pray until you send me someone you want me to pray for. And so I prayed in the Spirit, and I just started looking over, you know, this auditorium that had maybe 1,000 people in it. And you would think, out of 1,000, somebody would just want to get it over with. No, I'm praying and I'm praying and I spot someone and I realize that's who the Lord wants me to pray for. So I'm praying in the Spirit and I'm thinking, okay, now what? And I keep praying in the Spirit. Eventually, that person comes to me. And so I'm really happy because now I've got someone. And this was someone who, you know, was, other people knew him, so it's like, okay, I finally got someone in my line and someone who's known by others. Maybe that'll engage others, who knows. So he comes to me and I'm thinking, oh, this is so great. I prayed for him and God brought him, motivated him to come to me where no one else was. And so I said, what would you like me to pray for? And he said, let the Lord show you. And at that moment, I thought, oh, come on. You know, go easy on me, somebody. So I thought, I'll pray in the Spirit, because I don't yet have understanding how to pray, and I was hoping he would just tell me. But he didn't. The guy didn't tell me. So I prayed in the Spirit, and I prayed in the Spirit, and I prayed in the Spirit to the point where I still didn't have understanding, and I have to tell you, I was almost ready to pray that generic prayer. It's not the prayer of faith. It's like, I got to get this over with. Lord, you know his needs. And under my breath, I sure don't. And right before I got to that point, I didn't give up. I kept in the praying in the Spirit. And after I got to the point of feeling sort of humiliated and powerless, that's when the Lord gave me understanding, when I got to that point. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to pray with what he shows me. I started praying with the understanding that I got in that condition. Afterwards, the man said to me, that was amazing. That's exactly what I needed prayer for. That's exactly what I came up for. So I'm telling you this because it's not an emotional thing that I'm talking about. Praying in the Spirit actually is part of renewing the mind so that the mind can discern, can recognize, and can agree with the will of God, so that the mind can understand. And I have had this happen time and time again, where I didn't know how to pray, but by praying in the Spirit, I comprehended, I perceived, I understood how to pray. I believe that Isaac is in this place, not where he's praying in the Spirit, but where he's wondering, what do I do? And the Lord says, I'm going to come to you before you get a chance to make a bad decision or to make a decision based on all the other analytical information. How many people are in the room who like to analyze facts, figures, information? You like hard data? Hard data. Hard data, all the hard data people, yeah. You don't want just subjective stuff. You want real information. That's good. That's good. I don't want to discourage you in doing that. I think that's important. It's powerful. What I want to tell you is, in addition to that, your mind can process not only the hard data you have access to in normal ways, but another set of hard data that God has access to, that you can get access to only through him. Now, how could Isaac figure these things out? He couldn't. He received guidance from the Lord because the Lord wanted to guide him. And this can bring comfort and encouragement to each one of us. The Lord wants to lead each one of his children. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. So, does God want to lead some of the children of God or all of the children of God? All the children of God. So, that person you're smiling at and talking to tonight, you can say that the Lord wants to lead you. The Lord wants to lead you. He's committed to leading you, and he's going to do it. Now, when you're led by the Spirit, you understand things you wouldn't understand otherwise. You perceive things you wouldn't perceive otherwise, and it makes a difference. Let's go to two more verses in order to see this. It's in Genesis 26, same chapter, verses 12 and 13. Isaac planted crops in that land, and he reaped that year. What? 100 times as much as he had sown. The Lord blessed him. The man became rich. He prospered more and more until he became very wealthy indeed. Now, I'm not here to promote a prosperity doctrine of some sort. I'm here to tell you this, that when God wants to lead you through difficult situations, he can really do it. He can bring you through a difficult situation. And if you are following him and you're discerning his will, you can find out what to do and how to do it. If you read the whole story of this Torah portion, you'll discover that it wasn't just easy for Isaac. It wasn't just magical. There were trials and tribulations, difficulties of many kinds, but the Lord was with him. And through this, you learn something. God is not against difficulty. How many would like to vote that God should be against all difficulties in our lives? Okay, we're overruled because he's not against difficulty. He uses difficulty. He uses the realities of this world in order to conform us to his will and also in order to bless us. Isaac was blessed 100 times. He didn't eat his seed. He sowed his seed. Some people would say, well, why are you sowing seed? It's a famine. There's not going to be any rain. Nothing's going to happen. But I want to tell you, when your mind is set on doing what God has directed you to do, it will have an effect on your mind where you'll think more clearly, you'll make better plans, you'll get better results, you'll experience blessings beyond the norm, and not only that, your emotions will be more stable, and your emotions will support you in the decision-making that you're doing. Can you imagine that Isaac might have thought, this is not going to go so well. I think I'm going to go to Egypt anyway. He might have thought, there's a famine around me, so the famine must touch me. Someone put it this way, not about famines, but about something else, that a ship is made to sail on the water, right? And so to be in the water isn't a problem for the ship. That's what it's made for. What you don't want is that the water get in the ship, but the ship is fine in the water. In the same way, you and I are made for this world, to survive this world. Can you agree the world is unstable? Can you agree it's stormy? Can you agree that it's a mess? So what's the key? It's to not let the world get in you. But rather, you go through the world, and Isaac is a good example of that. Using every faculty you have, using your mind, using your heart, using your soul, using your spirit to love God and in service and obedience to God. And when you do that, you know what? Better blessings come to you than the blessings you would get using your own plans without God's direction. So I want to pray for everybody who could use some help from God in the planning area. If you've got to make some decisions or you've got challenges that you can't figure out how to process or what to do, I want to pray for you because you serve a God who's filled with wisdom and who wants to share his wisdom with you. He wants to lead you. He wants your mind renewed. So everybody who needs some help in this area, if you'll stand up, I'll pray for you. And all I ask for you to do is lay your own hands on your own head right now and say, Lord, I know I need my mind renewed. I want to be renewed in the spirit of my mind. And I want to be able to receive the hard data and information that you have access to that I don't. And I'm praying, Lord, that you'll open up things, that you'll reveal things, that you'll direct me, that you will guide me, that you who are perfect in all your ways would lead me. And Lord, I commit myself to being faithful to you, to do what you say, to do it when you say it and how you say it. I commit myself to seek your face and to make my decisions only when you give me the light that's appropriate for major decisions. I pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen. 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 So let's close with Aaron's blessing. And let's pray for Antonio also. He had eye surgery, laser surgery for his detached retina to be reattached. So, Lord, we lift up Antonio to you, and we pray for complete and full healing and recovery for him. We pray for your blessings on him as he goes to the prisons to minister tomorrow. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ye'er Adonai p'navei lecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai p'navei lecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom.